Turn your Bibles this morning to Jonah chapter 1. If you're just getting familiar with your Bible, maybe the easiest way to find Jonah is go to that index, the beginning of your Bible. And in my Bible, it's on page 1076, so that'll help you out. Going to Jonah, it is between Obadiah and Micah in the Old Testament. Don't know if that helps, but it is between those two books towards the end of the Old Testament. Jonah chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 3. I'll read the odd verses, verses 1 and 3, if you'll join with me on Jonah chapter 1, verse number 2. Once you've found that, please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. Jonah chapter 1, beginning verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And let's pray. Again, Father, we have the opportunity to open up your book this morning. And God, we come this morning, and Lord, not out of duty or out of just being pushed or forced here, but Father, I pray we have the will and want to learn something from your man of God through the Word of God. I pray that we'd have listening ears and an open heart. And Lord, the presence of God might be on this place. In your name we pray. Amen.
For sin that made my Savior bleed, I hang my head in shame. Yet for the cleansing that I need, that precious blood I claim. The stripes by which my Savior bled bring healing, this I know. The blood that stained his garments red washed mine as white as snow. Wash mine as white as snow. The harvest of the sin I'd sown, he reaped at Calvary. Then sowed a field of his own and willed it all to me. The stripes by which my Savior bled bring healing, this I know. The blood that stained his garments red washed mine as white as snow. Wash mine as white as snow. The sun could sooner cease to shine, keep to itself its rays. Then can this thankful heart of mine from bursting forth in praise. The stripes by which my Savior bled bring healing, this I know. The blood wash mine as white as snow. Wash mine as white as snow.
Blessing. Thank you, Tony, for that good song this morning. I rejoice in that. Don't you? Wonderful. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing. Well, amen. I appreciate Brother Bragg giving us the page number. I remember years ago in the old building, I announced a text and I said, in the Schofield Bible, that's page such and such. And Scott Van Landingham hollered out from the crowd, what if he ain't got a Schofield Bible? So, anyway, I never forget that. So that keeps you humble. Amen. So if you don't have the same kind of Bible as Brother Bragg, Jonah ain't on page whatever it was, but you can find that. That's what he said. I thought that's pretty good advice. If you don't know where it is, look in the index. That's what's good. So that's great. So praise the Lord. You know, I've enjoyed being here this morning. Amen. I've enjoyed being here. I'm not here because I have to be. Well, kind of. I guess I have to be. But I'm here because I want to be. Amen. I've enjoyed singing. I enjoyed that. How marvelous, how wonderful. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed singing about wonderful Saviors, Jesus, my Lord. I enjoyed that good song just now. My, my. Amen. I want you to look at verse 3. Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What a foolish, foolish thing to try to accomplish, fleeing from the presence of... Where are you going to go to get away from God? But I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, what Jonah learned about going down. What Jonah learned about going down. Twice there in verse 3, the Bible tells us that he went down. Now, we understand geographically what that means, but symbolically, I want to talk to us this morning about what Jonah learned about going down. Father, help us today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your presence has graced us already with this beautiful music and good words that have so reminded us how precious and wonderful our salvation is and all that Jesus did for us when he went to the cross. I'm so grateful. Now, Lord, please, here's a simple truth today, but it could really help somebody to avoid tragedy. So help me this morning. Fill us with your Spirit's power, both speaker and listener. Anoint this place. Anoint my lips. Anoint all of our ears that we might hear your word this morning and then the will to go do it and obey it and live it. Help us, Father, I pray in Christ's name. And amen. Going down only seems easier than going up. Now, you know that is true if you have ever climbed or hiked or hunted in steep terrain. Now, we have no steep terrain in northern Illinois. All right? Brother Garris said, first time he came here, Brother Terry, the highest point of elevation in Bourbonnais is over at the interstate over here. And he's right. But you get to where I was in Arkansas this week and some of those steep hills down there, and I've had the privilege of being in other mountains. And, of course, growing up in Georgia, up in North Georgia, we have some steep hills. And if you take a group of people to a place, you know, and you ask them, look at that steep mountain, what's easier, to go up it or come down it? If they're not familiar with it, never done it, they would automatically say, well, coming down is easier. But if you've ever traversed steep terrain, going up is easier than going down. Now, when you're going up the mountain, up a steep terrain, a steep hill, your body naturally leans into the incline. Your center of gravity helps to balance you. And if you fall, which I have done, slipped and fallen, going up a steep incline, you fall into the slope, and normally you can fairly easily catch yourself and continue your climb. But going down is not natural. Going down is not natural. Going down, you got to turn your feet sideways, and if you're not careful, your feet slide into the toes of your boots. If you've ever done that, you know what I'm talking about. Your feet slide into the, and you got to lean back. That's not natural. When you're going up, it's natural to lean into the slope, but to go down, you got to lean backwards on purpose. That's not natural. It's not a natural thing. And if you fall on steep terrain, Katie barred the door. You'll be tumbling down. So, you know, and you're going to exert strength. You're going to exert... Somebody says, well, man, it takes a lot more strength going up. You'd be surprised how much strength it takes coming down to keep yourself from falling. So it only seems easier to go down than to go up. And so it is in life. It only seems more difficult to go up than down. And when we get to the route down, and when we take the route down because it seems easier, we learn it wasn't easy after all, and there is usually a price to pay. Now, that's what Jonah learned, and he learned it the hard way, unfortunately. Jonah lived in a little town called Gath-Hepher. It was a little town about 5 miles from Nazareth. And the Bible says he was a prophet unto Israel. And in verses 1 and 2 here, God spoke to Jonah and God told him to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a place 600 miles east of Jerusalem. The Ninevites were a wicked people, a very strong warrior-type mentality, a warrior-type people. And even though they were a wicked people, God had a message for them. And it was a message of pending judgment. And God was going to overthrow their city in 40 days. And so He wanted Jonah to go there and preach basically a message of repent or perish. That's what the message was. God's going to overthrow your city in 40 days if you don't repent. That was what Jonah preached when he got there. But Jonah had no love for the Ninevites. He had no heart for them. He cared nothing for their salvation or their well-being. And the Bible says in verse number 3 that instead of going to Nineveh to obey God and do God's will, he did just the opposite. He went the other direction. In fact, some people tell us that Tarshish was a seaport city that was 2,200 to 2,500 miles west of Jerusalem. So not only was he not going to Nineveh, 600 miles, that's the east, 600 miles east, he was going the extreme distance the other direction to flee from the presence of the Lord. Jonah thought it would be easier to go downhill than uphill. He thought going uphill in the will of God seemed more difficult than going downhill away from the will of God. And I want to talk to you this morning about three things that Jonah learned about going down. First of all, wrapped up in three words. First of all, I want to use the word illusion. Illusion. The word illusion means deceptive appearance. You've used the term probably, optical illusion. I think what comes to our minds immediately, what comes to my mind immediately, is a man in the desert and he's without water, been without water, and now he's thirsty and he's you know, dying of thirst and dehydration, and he looks across the heat waves and the mirage, and he sees the oasis, and he keeps crawling to it and crawling, and he sees the palm tree and he sees the well of water, and it's all an illusion. It's an optical illusion. A deceptive appearance. Now, people, hear me this morning. Climbing up in God's will only seems more difficult than going down away from God's will. It only seems more difficult. If you think it's easier to disobey God than it is to obey God, that's an illusion. That's a deceptive appearance. For Jonah, leaving the will of God seemed easier than obeying the will of God. He thought it was much harder to go to Nineveh and preach than it was to get on a ship and go 2,500 miles the other direction. But that was only an illusion, a deceptive appearance. And friend, when we are tempted to think it is easier to disobey God's will than to obey God's will, we better realize that's only an illusion. It's a deceptive appearance. Obeying God's will may not be easy, but it is easier than disobeying God's will. It may not be easy to... I wouldn't say this morning, Jesus even talked about those that follow Him need to count the cost. It's costly to follow Jesus. But I'll tell you something, folks. It costs more not to follow Him. Obeying God may not be easier, but it is easier than disobeying Him. Seems easier to let the children grow up undisciplined than to bring them up in the biblical pattern of nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's work to bring up kids. It's not easy. But it's easier than letting kids grow up untrained and undisciplined. It seems easier to just drink wine at the family gathering than to abstain from it. It seems easier to laugh with the boys at work over a dirty joke than to walk away. It seems easier to give in to the seductive clutches of the adulterous woman than it was like Joseph to leave his coat and walk away with his character and his purity. It seems easier to just tip God a few dollars a week than to actually give Him what belongs to Him called the tithe. It seems easier to follow the lust of my flesh and look at things I shouldn't ought to look at than to turn my head away and discipline myself not to look at those things. It seems easier to flirt with the co-workers than to establish a testimony as a straight person. Seems easier. It seems easier to let the Bible sit day after day closed than to find time to read a couple of chapters or a few verses every day. It seems easier to date an unsaved person than to wait on God's choice for your life. It seems easier to just fit in with the world's music and dress than it is to obey the biblical principles of separation. It seems easier to lay out of Sunday school and Wednesday night Bible study than to make the effort to come. It seems easier just to lose my temper and let myself go and say what's on my mind because that's what I think than it is to practice self-control. It seems easier to join in the gossip and the critical talk than to be the one who doesn't participate. It seems easier to fit in with the crowd of young people at the school or the activity than it is to do right and walk alone. But that's only an illusion. It's an illusion. It has a deceptive appearance, folks. It's an illusion. Proverbs 13:15 says this, "The way of transgressors is hard." I could go on and on with examples this morning, but I'm just giving you examples. It is when we are tempted to think that it is easier to disobey God than to obey God, we better remember that's an illusion. That's a deceptive appearance. Proverbs 13:15 again, "The way of transgressors is hard." The Bible does not say the way of the obedient is hard. The Bible says the way of the disobedient is hard. And that's proven out in time over and over and over again. It proved out in Jonah's life. It would have been a lot easier for him to go to Nineveh and to go that 600 miles and preach the message God warned him to preach. It would have been a lot easier than it was to go on that ship and try to leave God's will. He found out the hard way. And by the way, folks, think about that word illusion and the definition. It means a deceptive appearance. Now, let me ask you a question. Who is the master of deceit? We don't have to go far to see that. Because the very first mention of Satan in the Bible is Genesis chapter 3, where the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 2:14, he deceived Eve. That's what the Bible tells us. We don't have to wonder about that. He deceived Eve in Genesis chapter 3. First mention of him. The last mention of him is in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, where he is called the one that deceived the people. So think about it, friend. The first mention of Satan identifies him as a deceiver, and the last mention of Satan identifies him as a deceiver. And when you've got an illusion that means a deceptive appearance, guess who's behind it? Satan is behind it. And I'll say again, it may not be easy to obey God, but it's going to be a whole lot easier to obey God than it's going to be to disobey Him. And if you're tempted to think otherwise, it's an illusion. Just remember, friend, when you come to a place where it seems that going up in God's will is harder than going down away from God's will, it is an illusion. It is a deceptive appearance. Always pay the price to obey God and stay in His will. Always. Because to think otherwise is an illusion. Now, there's a second word I want us to note this morning. First of all, illusion. The second word is the word expensive. Look at verse number 3. The Bible tells us that when Jonah went down to Joppa, which was a few miles south of Gath-Hepher, he found a ship going to Tarshish. When he got on the ship, he went down to the sides of the ship. So in one verse, he goes down twice. He goes down to Joppa, then he goes down to the sides or the hold of the ship. But I want you to see in the middle of that verse, the Bible says that he paid the fare thereof. Now that's talking about actual dollars, cash money. He had to buy a ticket to get on that ship to go to Tarshish. But I want to tell you something, friend. Not only did you ever pay for something that ended up being a horrible experience? And not only was it a horrible experience, you kept telling yourself, this is awful, this is awful, this is awful. And then you were also reminded that you shelled out some good money to pay for it. And that makes it even worse. Now look, this is talking about money, okay? This is talking about cash money that Jonah had to pay for that ticket. And I want to tell you something. Not only did it cost him cash money, it cost him far more than just cash money. And what it cost Jonah in other areas made the price of his ticket monetarily seem minimal. And I want to say this, when you and I go out of God's will, it may or may not cost us cash money, but it's going to cost us in other ways, folks. That makes money look minimal. Minimal. He paid the fare thereof. So it's not just an illusion that going away from God's will is easier. It's also expensive. It's going to cost us. He bought the ticket. He ended up in the hold, the sides of the ship. He ended up in the sea. And finally, he ended up in the belly of the great fish, the whale. It's going to be expensive to go away from God's will. It will cost you to obey God, to follow the Lord, to do right, but it's going to cost a whole lot more to disobey God, to give up on doing right. Folks, there's a price to pay either way you go. Just don't make the mistake of thinking it's going to be less costly to disobey God than it is to obey. Now, folks, the honest truth of the matter is our actions are not without accountability. They're not. You and I will not choose to disobey God and do so without some kind of accountability. It's going to cost us. And the idea, the thought that it's going to cost less to disobey than it is to obey, it's going to be easier to go downhill than it is to go uphill, is not only an illusion, it's an expensive choice. Sometimes our disobedience takes a while to catch up with us. You know, for the first little bit after Jonah got on that ship going to Tarshish, maybe they sailed out of that harbor real smoothly. Everything was just calm. Everything just seemed so perfect. What a beautiful day. But then it wasn't long till the storm hit. It wasn't long. It makes me think, I've told you before the story about my grandmother. And we lived close to Six Flags over Georgia. We lived about 12 miles from Douglasville, Georgia. And they built Six Flags over there. And before the days of all the fancy pneumatic roller coasters and all that they've got today, we had the old wooden roller coaster. You know, the old wooden kind, the Scream Machine, they called it. And it was a blast. I think you went a mile in 60 seconds on that thing. It was pretty fast. And we talked my grandmother into going with us on the Scream Machine, and I got the pleasure of her sitting with me. And she was sitting in front of me with my uncle. That's who it was, with YT. And so I'm sitting right behind her with I forget who. My grandmother in her probably, 70s, was sitting with my uncle. And you know how when you start out on that little thing, you know, you come out of the house there, and we were going around that little, and she was just, oh, this is so nice. Oh, this is really nice. And then we started up that hill. You know how it catches? And it's ching, 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 ching. And we kept getting high, and she kept looking at YT. Said, where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going, YT? Where are we going? And finally, you know, you get at the top of that thing, and whoa, and then it's on, man. It is on, and you don't have time to catch your breath. And I'll tell you, I'll never forget, she was unhappy with her son after that ride was over. Now, I can see Jonah, you know, I can see him, man. He pays for his ticket. He gets on the boat. Oh, this is so much. Look at this clear blue sky, and the sun is shining. Look at that harbor. So placid, my goodness, you can almost see your face in it. You can even see the reflection of the clouds and the sun. And he got out of that harbor. Oh, this is so nice. This sure beats going to Nineveh to preach. Then all of a sudden, the big old cloud over the sun, and here it comes, and now the wind starts to pick up. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Paul on the ship going to Alexandria. In Acts 27, when he told them in advance, he said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage is going to be with much damage. Ah! Look at the sky! Look at the sun! And the Bible says the south wind blew softly. Can you hear those sailors on board that ship as that ship Paul was on headed out of that bay? And that old sawed-off preacher, he's just a little bitty old guy, he's off somewhere and those sailors are all talking, man, what a nut. Told us not to sail. Told us that this voyage was going to be with much damage. Look at this day. Look at this. But then the Bible says, not long after. Not long after, A tempestuous wind. That's not my language. That's the Bible language. Not long after, a tempestuous wind blew. And what a miserable trip they had that ended in that ship being shattered to pieces. Yeah, go ahead and sail out of the port of God's will. Go ahead, sail away from God's will. You know what? At the beginning, you might catch the south wind blowing softly. It might not seem too bad. Oh, preacher angel, he said it would cost us to leave God's will. He said it would cost me to disobey God. But look at this. You might be okay for a while, friend, but you are stepping out on thin ice, and I'll promise you, our actions are not unaccountable. We are accountable for our actions, and it won't be long until the tempestuous wind blows. You can mark that down. The tempestuous wind will blow. You know, we're doing a little cosmetic remodeling to the bottom, to our basement, and trying to make it more family friendly when the grandkids come home. Nobody likes to be down there, and it was all kind of sectioned off in rooms. I say a little cosmetic remodeling. When Pete and I got into it, we had to tear down a couple walls, and there was concrete block wall down there, and it was more than just cosmetic. But anyway, we're not. That's going to be a progress, you know. And so I was down there messing around on Friday, doing some things, and I was going to be down there for 2 or 3 hours. And my wife was out getting groceries and stuff. So I got on the internet and I looked up an old preacher that I used to listen to preach once in a while called Mays Jackson. Mays Jackson was based out of Atlanta. And he's an old Southern preacher. I preached for a while and I enjoy that. I could listen to it for a while. I'm not sure I'd listen to it all my life. But he was I got to listen to Mays Jackson. I listened to two sermons and listened to two messages that he preached, and it reminded me of a story that Mays Jackson had told years and years ago in a sermon I heard him preach about a man named he had a friend named Roy. Mays Jackson, I forget where they lived, North Carolina, somewhere in the South, and Mays Jackson went to the town nearby where Roy lived, and he was preaching in a meeting, and Roy came over to hear him preach, and he brought his little boy, Jimmy, with him, just a little young fella, and they heard Mays Jackson preach. And after the service was over, I was reminded of this he didn't tell this, but I was reminded of it Friday. After the service was over, Roy came up with Jimmy to Mays Jackson. Brother Mays, good to see you. And Brother Mays said back, Roy, it's good to see you. And they chatted for a while. And then he said to Roy, he said, Roy, how's things going over at the church? And Roy kind of hung his head and he said, well, Brother Mays, he said, don't go there anymore. And they said, really? And he said, no, they didn't do me right over there. And just didn't do me right. And the truth of the matter is, I'm just not happy with it. And I'm never going to go back. In fact, I don't think I'm going to go back to any organized church ever again in my life. And Mays Jackson said, Roy, that's a mistake. He said, you need to go back to church. Just get your heart right and go back to church and make things right. If you can't get settled there, then at least go somewhere and get your heart right and attend church with God's people. And Roy said, nothing doing. I'm done with organized religion. I'm not going back. And Mays Jackson looked at him and he said, Roy, if you do that, God's going to set your barley fields on fire. And there's your barley field right there. And he pointed at that little boy. Now, what he was doing was referencing the story about Absalom and Joab in the Old Testament. And Absalom wanted to get Joab's attention. And he sent for him, and Joab didn't listen. And he sent for him a second time and a third time, and Joab never responded. So you know what Absalom did? He set his fields on fire. And guess what? Joab came. He responded. And there's the Old Testament story. There's some teaching in there for you and me. And folks, that is, you know, God does little things to get our attention once in a while. I'm glad He doesn't set the barley field on fire at first. But we're not going to ignore God's Word. Not going to ignore God's Word and just ignore it. If we're His child. And so he pointed at that little boy and he said, Roy, he said, God's going to set your barley fields on fire and there's your barley field. And Roy said, Mays, Brother Mays, don't talk like that. He said, Roy, I'm telling you, you need to come back to church. Get your heart right. Well, some time passed. Not too long. A little time passed. And that little boy, Jimmy, was now just, you know, a year or two older and two or three years older. And Roy still hadn't gone back to church. And Roy's heart was harder. And Roy's heart was colder. And that's the danger, folks. When you sail away from God's will, your heart is not going to grow tenderer to God's will. Your heart's going to grow more cold to God. That's why it's easier to go up than go down. It's an illusion to think that it's easier to disobey God than it is to obey. That little Roy comes home from work and he sits down with his newspaper. The little Jimmy comes up and he's tossing a little ball, baseball up in the air. He comes over and says, "Daddy, would you play catch with me?" And Roy said, "Son, I'm reading the paper. I just got home. I'm resting." And little Jimmy turned around and said, "Okay." And then he actually turned back around and he said, "Daddy," he said, "that's not really what I want." And Roy put his paper down and said, "Son, what do you want?" He said, "I want you to go back to church with me. Mom, would you go back to church?" And Roy got mad. He said, "Son," he said, "don't you ever say anything about church to me again. You understand me? Don't you ever mention it to me again." And the little boy turned around. They lived on a hill, on a curve. He's throwing that ball up in the air and catching it, throwing that ball up in the air, catching it. And he threw it a little further than he should have. And it bounced down the hill and he ran out in the road to get it. And they said, Roy said later, talking to Maisie Jackson later, said, "I heard the screech of the tires and the thump. And I looked up and see that little boy hurtling through the air." He said, "I ran out of my chair down the hill." And he said, "the whole way down the hill, all I could hear was Brother Mays telling me, 'Roy, God's going to set your barley field on fire. God's going to set your barley field on fire.'" You're saying, "God's an awful God. Do something like that." I want to tell you something, friend. Listen. God's not an awful God. God's a good God. But God's people aren't going to leave His will. God's people aren't going to disobey Him. God's people aren't going to treat Him like chump change without some kind of accountability. It may be hard to disobey God, but it's harder to hard to obey God, but it's harder to disobey Him. And it's expensive, friend. It's expensive. And they said that they buried that little boy. Mays Jackson said they had his funeral, and then they had a lunch at the house. And they looked, people were asking, "Where's Roy? Where's Roy?" And his wife said, "Well, he was headed up over to the cemetery last I saw." And they went over there and he was kneeling at the little freshly dug grave with his little boy. And he was singing the song, "Wherever you lead, I'll go. Wherever you lead, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loved me so. Wherever you lead, I'll go." And next Sunday morning he went to the church house. And he went to the little Sunday school classroom where Jimmy went to Sunday school. And the teacher standing out the door. And the teacher said, "Roy, I'm so sorry." And Roy said, "Please, show me the chair where Jimmy sat." And she said, "Well, he usually sat right over there." And he sat down in the empty seat next to it. And he told Mays Jackson, he said, "Mays," he said, "I put my leg up on the chair where my son used to sit." And he said, "Mays, I could smell the smoke of the barley fire. I can smell it." Never has been easy to obey God. There's a price to pay, but there's a heavier price to pay to disobey God. Heavier price to pay. It's expensive and it's more than money. It cost us to get out of God's will, to disobey the plain commands to God, the plain commands of God. You know, it's one thing to be deceived. It's another thing to pay the price of being deceived. Friend, don't be deceived at the beginning and don't pay the price of being deceived. Stay in God's will. You say, it's hard to live for God. It's hard to go uphill. It's harder to go downhill. Harder. Now I want to say the third word this morning. And that's the word opportunity. What did Jonah learn going down? He learned illusion. He learned expensive. And then he learned opportunity. I love what the Bible says. If you have your Bible still open to the book of Jonah, I love what it says in chapter 3 and verse number 1. This is after Jonah was vomited out of the belly of the fish. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah," thank God, "the second time." So he learned that it was It was an illusion to think it was easier to run than it was to obey. And he learned it was expensive, but he learned that when you do learn your lesson, thank God, he has an opportunity for you to get right back in the saddle and start serving the Lord. Now look, listen very carefully. I'm not saying go away to learn that there is an opportunity. You'll be better off never having to learn that. But here's what I'm saying this morning. If you have gone away, I want you to know that there is opportunity to get back. And some of you have. And everything looks nice. You're in the harbor and the south wind's blowing softly and everything's calm, but in your heart, you've sailed out of God's will in some way. Before you learn that it's real expensive to do that, hear this morning that God gives you an opportunity to get right back in His will. Get right back in His will. You know, he sailed on that ship. The sailors tossed him overboard. There was the great fish that God prepared to swallow him up. God prepared that fish. God put that fish at that point to swallow that prophet. God did that. The Lord prepared a great fish. Down into the belly of that fish, and you can read, I won't take time this morning, but you can read down through chapter 2 and all that Jonah experienced in the belly of that fish. But thank God he learned after that fish vomited him out, he learned that God had a second chance. God had an opportunity for him to get back in His will. I am begging you this morning, friend. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to get back. Follow your footsteps. Follow your footsteps. You know, when you're out, and I'm going to say this may not interest you, but when you're out in a woods that you don't know, you're not familiar with it, and you're tracking an animal, and you're not sure where you are, you know what you do? You leave little things here, and you stick an arrow in the ground, or you do something, so that if you get out here and you realize, man, I don't know where I am, all you got to do just turn around and follow your footsteps back. And I know where I am right here. This is where I got lost. This is where I got off track. And if you got off track, friend, you get out here and you realize, this is not real good. And you hear old lanky Pastor Angel up here telling you it's going to cost you more to sail out of God's will than it is to stay in it. And you think to yourself, man, I don't want that to happen. How am I going to get back? Follow your footsteps. Where was it? It's right back here. Look, friend, I've said it 2 or 3 times this morning. I'll repeat it again. I'm not about to stand up here and tell you it's easy to serve God. I'm not about to sit up here and tell you it's easy to live for God, especially in this day and age. But I'm telling you, it's a lot easier to serve God and obey God than it is to disobey. It's an illusion. A deceptive appearance. Deceptive appearance. You know what's sad? Sometimes it's other Christians whose lifestyle leads us away. Well, they don't do that, and they don't do, and they go. And you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening behind closed doors, folks. You have no idea. I would never, ever base my service for God on what some other person is doing. Better find out what God expects out of me and obey Him. I think people have taken shortcuts on God based on what you've seen other families do over the years. You've decided, well, if it didn't hurt them, it's not going to hurt me. You better not say that. You better not say that. Better find out what God wants. Look at that mountain. Man alive. Climbing that mountain is so hard. It'd be so much easier to come down it than go up it. You ever done it? You ever done it? Try it. I'll promise you, going up a steep mountain is easier than coming down. It's easier. It's more natural going up. If you slip, it's not as dangerous. But when you're coming down that steep hill and carrying a burden, it's an illusion. And it's expensive. But thank God, there's opportunity. There's opportunity to get back in the middle of God's will. Father in heaven, thank you for your word and all that it teaches us this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you'll do more than just tickle our ears with a message today. But I pray that the truth of your word preached, I hope, Lord, in love this morning. I have no axe to grind. I have no ugliness in my heart. I want to help people. I'm concerned for some. God, I pray this morning that you'll speak to the heart that's in the most need today with this message, Lord, what Jonah learned about going down. Father, would you please speak to us today, and each of us as an individual. We'll thank you for it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's be honest before God this morning. You know, we're praying on Sunday nights for God to speak to hearts and be at liberty, have liberty in our services to work, and God's doing that. I wonder this morning if somebody would say, Pastor, the Lord spoke to my heart. The Lord spoke to my heart about this area of my life, or this area. It might have been something you mentioned, might have been something you didn't even get close to mentioning. But I know, and God dealt with me about sailing away from His will. And it's harder to disobey than it is to obey. It's only an illusion that says it's easier to disobey than to obey. And it is expensive. I needed the message. Maybe I'm in the harbor and I don't want to leave. Maybe I'm out of the harbor of God's will and I need to get back. But God spoke to me. Would you slip a hand up wherever you're sitting this morning and be honest about it before God? Just what you got to do, folks. You got to be honest. You got to be honest. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else this morning say, I need to join that crowd that lifted a hand? Anybody else? I see your hand. God bless you. Thank you. And you. Let me ask this question today. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved? Well, it's the will of God for every individual to be saved. You think it's harder to be saved and be known as a Christian than to die and go to hell? Friend, you're sadly mistaken. Is there anybody here this morning, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up so I can just have a prayer for you this morning? I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Ask God to help me this morning by having you pray. Anybody like that? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you've been saved and you haven't followed the Lord in believers' baptism since you've been saved, that's the first command. You can step out and obey the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll please help the message to resonate in our hearts. Oh Lord, help us to be careful and walk circumspectly and to be consumed with staying in your will and obeying you in every area of our life. And Father, if we have to learn a lesson, we don't want to learn it the hard way. We don't want to learn it by being deceived, an illusion that it's easier to disobey than it is to obey. That's so ridiculous. God, help us. And Lord, keep us from that awful cost that we might have paid if we go away from your will. And if somebody's out this morning, God, may they be caught up with the opportunity that's before them to get right and get back on track in their heart, in the will of God for their life. That's my prayer today. Speak to us, I pray, as we close in Christ's name. Now, the Spirit of God spoke to your heart this morning. And now, look, do Him the service, the honor of responding and coming and just kneeling for a minute or even at your pew and recognizing that God spoke to you and ask Him to reveal that to you, what it is, and help you. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing. Would you come today? Would you let the Lord work in your life? You raised a hand. Would you come? Don't hesitate. Just step out and obey the Lord. It costs more to disobey than it does to obey. There's no doubt about it. There's opportunity. That's what's great, friend. Oh, thank the Lord. There's opportunity. Opportunity. It's an illusion.